This is Doug Miller. We are going to look again today at the Apostle Paul and what the Lord did for his life once he got hold of him and turned him around. You will be blessed by this, I can assure you. So, stick around and let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue. And we are privileged to be back with you one more time this side of eternity to speak into this microphone and to send the Word of God out over the airways, out to who knows where or to who knows whom. I don't know why you tuned in this today. You may be a regular listener. You may be, you know, on the highway driving by, just kind of surfing, as the saying goes, I guess, the radio. You may have picked me up by accident. You may be lying in a sick bed in a hospital. You may be in a prison cell. You may be in a motel somewhere doing who knows what. I don't care why you tuned in. I'm delighted that you did. And I'll tell you, I think you will be greatly blessed. Now, why not call a friend while you're at it and tell them to listen in as well? Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out. And to that end, we require your assistance. We are a faith ministry, and it is the Lord's people by their prayers and support that keep us out here. Without you, we couldn't do it. I will guarantee. And you hear me say this many times. Pray for Dialogue. Pray and beseech the Lord on our behalf. Pray for power. Pray that this ministry will be extended out farther. Pray that people will listen and lives be changed. And, of course, we would always love to hear from you. Always nice to just know where you are, if, among other things, to know that you're out there. And I will guarantee you that we do not put your name on a mailing list somewhere and write you letters and worry you about money. We don't do that. We're not going to do it. Just a pleasure to hear from our listeners. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. Also, if you want to email Dialogue, we've got an email address. Everyone seems to have one nowadays, and we've got one too. Our email address, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, and then at is the little symbol, you know, for at that's in there, the little A with the circle around it, at sbcglobal.net. If you wish to pull up our web page, and I wish you would, I hope you do, it is Dialogue Ministries, all small letters, all one word, .org. Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. Now, if you want to call and talk to me on the phone, that's possible too, but you will get a recording and I will have to get back with you. Don't worry about it. I will get back with you. But as those of you who have been listening to Dialogue know, we don't have a paid secretary. Not going to spend money on something like that. Don't need one. You just leave a message, and I'll get back with you. The telephone number, area code 405-535-9089. 405-535-9089. All right. The preliminaries are over. Let's look at the Word of God. We are still looking at Paul's testimony before Festus and Agrippa and their wives. And so far, when last week we looked at, we got down through verse 19. We're going to pick it up at Acts 16, verse 19 again. And look at what Paul says. Boy, I'm telling you, I hope I can say this. Unfortunately, if you look at my life as I have lived it out over the last, well over 50 years, about 55 years now, since I was saved, I cannot honestly tell you that I've always been obedient. But look at what Paul says. Wherefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. I wasn't disobedient. I set my face like a flint. I pursued after. I did exactly what he told me to do. He said, I'm sending you to the Gentiles. I went to the Gentiles. Look at this. I showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. All right, now Paul makes it very clear here. I hope, I know this is, now this is an area of disagreement. This business of repentance. There are those out there who teach that, repentance is not a part of salvation because that would be a work, and salvation is by grace through faith without works, and we are not called upon to repent. Well, I want you to go back and look in the 20th chapter of Acts, which we've already been through, but I want you to see what Paul said he had been preaching. In fact, let's just take a look at that. Kind of easy to get to it here. Let's turn back to Acts 20. And in Acts 20, we have this statement. In Acts 20, verses 20 and 21, Paul talking to the elders at from Ephesus. I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. You want to hear another one? Notice that word repentance. Notice this one. It says here that, and this is Acts 17, verse 20, where Paul says, now this is to the philosophers up on Mars Hill, God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. Now please, if the Apostle Paul, the Apostle of the Church, the Apostle whose gospel is the gospel that you get saved by, the death, burial, and resurrection, if the Apostle Paul who wrote, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If the Apostle Paul says, I've been out here among Jews and Gentiles preaching repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, I beg you, don't come to me and say that repentance has no part in salvation. It does have. And don't come to me and make it a work, a human work, something that you do. You don't do it. Let me explain this to you, if I can, so that you'll have no problems with it. You cannot have faith with God, toward God, and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ without repentance. You can't do it. Repentance means, the Greek word is metanoia, and it literally means an afterthought, or more properly perhaps, to change your mind. I have been going one direction. I have been thinking certain things. Think of Paul now, for example. Paul was thinking that Jesus was not the Christ. Paul was thinking that all of these people, including Jews, many Jews who believed that Jesus was Messiah, who believed that Jesus had died for their sins and was buried and rose again, Paul was thinking that they were all wrong, that they were accursed, that this whole movement was a heresy and that it had to be stamped out. And of course, Paul was the kind of guy who would act upon his thoughts if he did nothing else. Paul thought one thing. He got a jolt that changed his mind. This is what repentance is. Once again, faith and repentance go hand in hand. And if you are unsaved, you cannot believe on the Lord Jesus Christ without repenting. And these are necessary. These are necessary things. Faith and repentance go together like hand and glove. I am sure that some of you out there won't agree with that, but I'll pray for you because you are wrong. It's just that simple. Look at what Paul says. He was out there preaching that they should do the works worthy of repentance. Axia is the Greek. Do the works worthy of repentance. And what happened to him for this? Did he get a smooth ride? Did he get pats on the back and encouragement? Not likely. Now, if you've been listening to Dialogue and we've been going through the book of Acts, you have seen very well what happened to Paul. But Paul tells us here, "For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continued unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles." Now, Paul makes it very clear that the message he is giving is a message he has from God, that the message he is giving is a message that came to him from Moses and the prophets. It is all over the Old Testament. Remember, Paul didn't have a New Testament. The New Testament hadn't been written yet. Paul wrote the bulk of it. Oh, he had written some of it by now, I think. I think he'd probably written Thessalonians and Corinthians. But the bulk of it he hadn't written yet. There was no New Testament when Paul was speaking these words. I doubt even that the Gospel of Mark had been written, although it might have been. The book that Paul had, the Bible he had and was carrying around with him, was the Septuagint, which was the Old Testament translated into Greek. That's what he had. When he went into a synagogue, when he stood up before a bunch of Gentiles and read to them from the Bible, he read the Old Testament. And then he had to expound it. He had to open it up and say, "Now let me tell you what this means." And he tells it right here. He rose from the dead. He suffered. He rose from the dead. And he is a light to the people and to the Gentiles. "In him shall the Gentiles trust," wrote the prophet Isaiah. "Arise, shine," wrote Isaiah. "For thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." He is a light to the people of Israel and to the Gentiles. And to reject that light is to simply be walking in darkness. It is just that simple. You can reject him, and you will stumble in darkness and go out into a lost eternity. And you don't want to do that, friend. You had better pay attention. Well, let's see what kind of reaction. We've got these folks sitting here listening, and we've got two reactions here, and both of them are wrong. It's kind of interesting, the reactions that Paul gets. We saw earlier when Paul was talking to Felix back in the 24th chapter, another one of these rulers out there, one of these government guys. His statement was, you know, "Go your way, and when I have a convenient season, I will call for you." Well, that's one thing, that's one reaction you get when you're preaching the gospel, isn't it? You give a guy the gospel, One reaction you're apt to get is, well, let me think about this and I'll get back with you. Is there any indication that Felix ever had a more convenient season? None. So far as we know, this man was never saved and went right out into a lost eternity, and he was that close to being saved to eternal salvation. Come back when I have a more convenient season. Well, Festus is, or Felix even later on, you know, he even trembled when he said that. He even trembled when he said that. What difference did it make? Well, didn't make any. And we have got one of the statements that was made, and we saw this later on. We saw this from Festus, rather. Almost, I'm kind of getting my men tangled up here. But one of the reactions is, almost, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. We'll see this later on out of Agrippa. Well, I'm this close. I'm kind of thinking about it. Any indication that Agrippa, that's, incidentally, we're going to see that one in just a minute here. Let's get Festus's reaction. We've got Felix. Come back when you have a more convenient season. We've got Agrippa, and we'll see it in a minute here. Almost. You're almost about to. Let's see what Festus says. Festus, in verse 24, cries with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. It's kind of interesting to read this one in the Greek. It's interesting what he cried with a loud voice, thou art beside thyself, is all one word in the Greek. Mine. Madness. Madness. Much learning. You've spent too much time in books and in philosophy and theology. It's driven you nuts. You are crazy. Listen to what you're saying. You're talking about someone rising from the dead. Look at Paul's response. I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. Now, Paul's message here and what Paul is saying and the way he's presenting it, these are not the words of a madman. And Paul says it. I am not mad. I know the book. I know what's in the book. I know what has happened, and I know that I am speaking truth. And he goes on and says, the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. He's talking about Agrippa now. For this thing was not done in a corner. How about it, king? Look at King Agrippa. He said, King Agrippa, verse 27, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Do you believe what Isaiah wrote? Do you believe what Moses wrote? Do you believe what Jeremiah wrote? Do you believe? I know that you do. You've been exposed to this. And he goes on, then Agrippa, here's Agrippa's answer. Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost, or in a little, thou wilt persuade me. You know, I feel drawn in that direction. Almost. I remember a guy that I was talking to once about the Lord. And in fact, he and his wife and my wife and I were seated together in a room, and I was giving him the gospel and talking to him about the things of the Lord. He was not a believer, didn't pretend to be. Made no bones about it. And what he said as we were seated in that room today reminds me very much of what Agrippa said here. What he said was something like this, I really do feel drawn to what you're saying. I really do feel powerfully drawn to this thing. Or words to that effect. Well, what happened? So far as I know, He did not get saved and has never gotten saved. He is still out there, still unsaved, not interested. And I want to tell you something. It is possible to get yourself inoculated against the gospel. And a lot of people have done that in this country. People, when you are presented with the gospel, you had better listen to it. When you hear and reject, you harden your heart. And you harden it just a little more every time you hear and reject. Every time you listen to a gospel message and turn it away and say, when there's a more convenient season, I will call for thee. Or when you say, this is crazy. That's the Festus approach as opposed to Felix. Or when you say, well, almost, but not quite. You are hardening your heart. And if you think that you can always, just at your convenient, come to the Lord, you cannot. The Bible is very clear. Jesus said it in the 6th chapter of John. No man can come to me except the Father that sent me draw him. You reject and reject and reject, and it's just a matter of time before your heart becomes so hard that the gospel just bounces off like BBs off a boulder. You harden your heart, and you will be cut off, and you will wind up in a lost eternity and headed for judgment, and there is no way that you can be turned around at that point. It's a frightful thing. Look at this man. Was he saved? He was not. Is there any indication that he was ever saved? There is none. Here is what Paul says to him. I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. I wish everyone were saved. I wish everyone would hear this word and repent and turn to the Lord Jesus. Now, I want to tell you something. The guy talking to you right now can say that in all sincerity. I don't care if you're black, white, yellow, red. I don't care what your background is. I don't care if you're rich or poor. If you are unsaved, I wish that you were just like me, born again by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, look at this in verse 30. When he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with him. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, this man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. Well, he did appeal unto Caesar, though, didn't he? And maybe he should have, and maybe he shouldn't have. But Paul is going to Rome. Paul is going to Rome. I think it's interesting that these people who have listened to Paul said, this man, there's nothing wrong with him. He hasn't done anything wrong. And they don't think he's crazy either. What about you? What do you think? This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.